It's time for Chasing the Word on Compassion Radio. Good morning, honey. It's time to wrap up Chapter 9 of this Chasing the Word series on the book of John, Chapter 9. Three episodes in this one chapter.
There's so much to unpack in this whole book of John.
And it's one person, one story.
Yes. It's been such a fun journey, and I know there's still a whole lot more to go, but I have loved every second of just unpeeling this onion or this beautiful flower that we are walking through. And sometimes it feels like an onion because there are some hard, difficult teachings that make us cringe a little bit and cry and just question who we are and what we've been doing to serve Jesus.
Especially if we've been in the church forever, thereby considering ourselves religious people. How do we really respond when God does the unthinkable in our minds? The word that's going to come up on this edition of the book we've been working on for the past few years called The Dynamic Gospel, which is our offer to you for supporting Compassion Radio in any way. This next little section of the story includes this phrase, "The man had been cut off." That phrase right now resonates deeply with me and it does with you because we've had to preside in the past week alone over the cutting off of people that we love, people that have succumbed to COVID. We know that right now across the world, across the United States especially, there's been a raging uptick in the coronavirus. It's affecting a lot of us again in ways that are horrible. It's finally getting closer than it's ever been for many, many of us. And I want to mention that because we're starting from a frame of reference today of all the stuff that God's allowed us to see and happen and to enter into the worry and the suffering, the anxiety of others, people that we love, and the loss of people that we love. Friends, if you're going through those kind of threats to your psyche right now, I just want to commit this next half hour that we're going to be talking about this man who was healed by Jesus in a miraculous way beyond anybody's expectation.
Right.
It might seem like an insult added to injury to go approach a story where someone got what they wanted, but you didn't. I get that. And I just want you to know that from Sandy and I, if you're experiencing the threat or the pain that goes along with having lost someone for any reason, especially in the season of COVID, where it's so unexpected and so feared over time that it might come close to us, and that it has for you, I just want you to know we are praying for you today.
Yes.
And I don't want you to enter into this time we're going to be discussing the word together to be preoccupied so much with the pain that you can't hear God speak to you in the pain if you're experiencing it. We're not unaware of the kind of hurt that goes along with truth at the same time, how much it's an admixture of suffering and hope and joy and things when we approach the word. We get that. We feel it too with you. And I want us, as we approach the word, to not leave the impression that we're treating suffering in this world trivially. It is not trivial what's happening in the world today. And as we go back to the story of the blind man healed by Jesus, it wasn't trivial for him either. In this circumstance, Jesus personally, in the flesh, did something extraordinary. I don't want us to give up on praying for extraordinary miracles for those we love and feeling like, well, it's just not possible. It's too big for us. Nothing is too big for God.
Right.
If he chooses to answer in the way that we want, we praise him. If he chooses to answer in a way we did not want, we will worship him. Either way, God is God, and it's not our job to boss him around. But we make honest and earnest pleas to him when we need his help. So please, friends, don't give up on your prayers for those you love or your friends who are suffering from any reason, whether it's COVID or something else. There is good in the pursuit of God, even when we don't get what we want.
And don't give up on the God that you're praying to, even if he doesn't answer the way you want.
Perfectly put. Don't give up on the God who can, friends.
Yeah.
And now we turn to the scripture that we're going to wrap up chapter 9 again of the book of John. And we're going to start right at verse 35. Can you set up the situation, honey?
Well, we've just seen in the temple this man who was healed, who had been blind, kind of schooling the Pharisees a little bit. And he is telling them, look, I don't know where this guy's from. All I know is that once I was blind and now I can
see.
And they were having none of it. The Pharisees were just frustrated and over the top angry with this man. So they threw him out of the temple. They said, you have been excommunicated. Yeah. We're casting you out. So here he is, although he's just been healed of blindness and now is a healthy and able man. he's lost maybe his livelihood because he's been thrown out of the temple. And we talked about that a little bit.
That's where he begged and where he was given the right to ask for alms, which would be bread money.
We remember from earlier in the chapter how Jesus kind of wiggled his way out of the crowd because they were angry at him and like trying to kill him or trying to take him into custody. I think maybe been on the fringes of this and maybe has pulled his hood over his head, or somehow he's kind of out of sight from the Pharisees so they don't know he's around, but he's hearing all of these things happen. And so Jesus approaches the man, starting in verse 35. When Jesus heard that they had thrown the man out, he found him and asked, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" he asked. Jesus answered, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you now." "I believe, Lord," he said, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment in order that those who do not see will see, and those who do see may become blind."
Yeah.
Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and asked him, "We aren't blind too, are we?" "If you were blind," Jesus told them, "you wouldn't have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin is evident."
A lot of object lessons right in there. And he's calling it out again on the spiritual plane. Back up to the whole issue of casting him out. The cutoff idea. Basically, they're saying to this man who can see now, "You're dead to us."
Right.
That's what that means, to be cut off. My guess is that the fear of his story getting loose inside the tent, inside the synagogue, inside the temple, of what God did for him would uproot everything they think is essential to the stability of their people, of their culture, of their language, of their religion, of their nation.
Well, it also speaks to their tentative hold on the power that they had. And they want to keep that. They want to keep that power over the common man to make sure that they remain where they are and never change and not have any need of the Pharisees, basically.
Yeah. And when Jesus finds this guy and stares him in the eye, talks to him directly.
We talked about that too.
The man believes the word of Jesus. That doesn't require eyeballs.
Mm.
You know, if Jesus was standing in front of him and penetrated his soul with truth and the two of them talked long enough where it got through to him, even if that miracle of his eyeballs never happened, it is possible that the word itself, without the eyeballs, could figure this out and see the truth.
Mm.
And it's also quite possible that those who think they have it all together and have everything they need, including their eyesight, they can see what's in front of them, but they refuse to believe what is true.
Mm-hmm.
They're doubly blind.
I think this is a great object lesson for us.
Oh, man.
Those of us who think we know, those of us who grew up in the church, we talk about this often, but those of us who grew up in the church, we've learned a ton of stuff going through Sunday school. And in the church I grew up with, we called it training union.
Mm-hmm.
We had kids groups. We had all kinds of scripture memory that we did and Bible lessons that we learned. For me, it's been one of those things where I had to go through this cathartic revelation that I didn't really know everything that I thought I knew.
Mm. Or didn't know it like you know you can or should.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't a personal thing for me as much as it was just knowledge that I had gained. And I think that's what we're seeing here. But in a sense, that's what Jesus is saying. You've seen all these things, or you think you've seen all these things. You think you have clear vision, but I'm telling you, there's another way to see. There's another light that you can look at to gain insight and wisdom.
Or look through. These metaphors, we get them because if we've had eyeballs our lifetimes, it's okay with us. We can say, oh, that's what seeing is like.
Right.
But when you talk about seeing anything of importance, seeing the truth or seeing the facts, this is, again, not about photons hitting receptors in your head.
Right.
This is about the light of the truth hitting your heart and your head and converting you to the truth. Something inside our spirit yields to that and says, that really is the way it is. And that's why they talk about faith being the substance of things we hope for and the evidence of things that we can't perceive with our senses.
Mm-hmm.
We can't see with our eyeballs. But somewhere deep within us, we know to be true these things. Who convinces us of that? It's got to be the Spirit of God, not our own vain hopes. We could be deluded in many ways and try to hang on to a falsehood, but eventually they fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God is so evident in the lives of people that we read across centuries, millennia, that have been assembled in this one book alone. that we see from the testimonies of those who have experienced it, that there is an understanding. There is a light that goes and penetrates deeper than any spoken word. Mm-hmm. It goes deeper than any physical touch mm-hmm. or relationship or definition of some other person. It goes deeper than what we can actually read with our own eyeballs. But the word is light.
Yeah.
In every way possible.
I see a group of people just walking around in the temple with light bulbs over their heads. Some are turned on and some are turned off. And those that have the light bulbs turned on, their eyes are bright and they're like, oh my goodness, I'm seeing Jesus. I'm seeing the Savior. I get it. And those with the light bulbs turned off are walking around bumping into things thinking, I know where I'm going. I've got this. I can, you know, see perfectly. My mom used to tell a story of when she and my dad were just young marrieds and they had moved into a new house. Now, my mom moved them into this house while my dad was out of town. He worked on the road as a traveling salesman. She had moved them into this house and my dad came home. Yay, we have a new house. They go to bed that night. And I will say also that my dad was a Marine and he fought in the Korean conflict. And so he was very skittish at times. And so noises at night. And
situational awareness is a big part of your survival skills.
Woke him up quickly. Yeah. So my oldest brother was a baby at the time and he cried out in the night. And my dad jumped up to go and tend to him so that my mom could stay asleep. But he was thinking in his mind, I am in our old house.
In the old house, yeah.
And I know exactly where I'm going. I know where everything is. Well, turns out he ran into the Venetian blinds, which those of you who are old enough will remember those were made of metal and they were slats and they made a horrible noise.
It would cut you up if you
And they would
enough.
Cut you if you weren't careful. Yeah. And so he ran right into the window, ripped these blinds off the wall, and of course woke my mother up for sure. And she's screaming because she thinks that someone is trying to get into the house, which doesn't help my brother, who is also crying as a baby. So it's an amazing, hilarious story. But I think that's kind of how we are sometimes when we don't really know what's around us. We don't get our surroundings because we can't see them well enough. The light has to be turned on so that we can actually see what's around us and navigate it efficiently.
Yeah, I'm not the only one, I'm sure, as we talk about this, that has had the experience of seeing the light in someone's eyes. Mm-hmm. You know what it means when you see it, that they perceive you, what you're saying, and there's agreement. There's something that goes beyond just talking and encoding, decoding. There's agreement. Mm-hmm. And you look at that person and say, I see in you something wonderful. It could be in a child or a loved one or to someone you know that you've seen them in the dark for a long time and suddenly you see them differently.
Yeah.
We've had that experience with a number of our friends over the years. We prayed for many years. They were walking in the dark. Mm-hmm. And we weren't there when the change happened, but when they walked into the room, we can see Jesus right there. Yeah. Something happened in their lives and we just say, what's your story? Mm-hmm. What happened?
Something's new inside of you.
We even had another friend that we led in one of our small groups that had lived in the darkness of a lot of mental and spiritual anguish for years and finally said, enough of this, either God's real or he's not, and pursued him. And he took the words of Jesus literally to go into the desert for 40 days and pursue God. He did it like the Bible did it. He fasted for 40 days. We saw him a year later after this experience. We didn't know the story, but when he walked in the room, his eyes were alive. Mm-hmm. And the haunting of that previous illness was nowhere to be seen. God had healed him. It was evident. And everywhere I look in the world today, honey, it seems like there's new hauntings. Yeah. People being chased by depressions or fears or anxieties, and they don't know what to do with them. This story to me speaks to that. For 78 years now, we've depended on the faithful encouragement of friends just like you to bring this unique radio and media ministry to the air each day. You can drop us a line, ask a question, submit a prayer request, or download a free Bible study guide in just the same way. It all happens at CompassionRadio.com. This dynamic gospel is available to you in a handy paperback edition, and I'd love to send you one when you send your gift and ask for it. Remember, this is a 100% listener-supported ministry. If you've never supported us before, would you consider doing so this month? I know many of you can and want to give more, so I'll not be shy in asking for that support. Thank you for seriously considering this request and challenge. Our toll-free order line is 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. If you need to call early or late, that's okay.
Just make sure to leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you immediately when the doors open each business day. You can also give anytime online at CompassionRadio.com. And if you prefer to put a stamp on it, you can always find us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today.
Let's take a look at the Dynamic Gospel now.
Again, verses 35 to 41 of John chapter 9. Jesus heard later that the man had been cut off from his community by the vengeful fundamentalists. He went looking for the man. When he found him, Jesus asked, "Do you believe that God has finally sent his son to the world?" "If he's finally come, teacher, tell me where I can find him so I can follow him." Jesus said firmly, "God gave you new eyes for a reason. God's son is looking you in the eye." Get the picture? And it's his voice you hear. It was so very, very clear to the man. He said, "I believe." He fell to his knees and bowed in deep gratitude. Jesus said, "It's time to sort the lies from the truth. I make the truth clear to those who are blind, and those who think they see will be shown for how blind they really are." There were still some fundamentalist spies keeping tabs on the healed man. They just weren't very good at hiding, especially when they spoke up. "Oh, so we're the blind ones, is that it?" Jesus answered, "If you had just admitted that you didn't have all the answers, it would have been the honest truth. But no, you go proclaiming yourselves perfect and infallible. You can't wash that kind of sin off." End of chapter 9. Some closing thoughts, honey?
I think I'm seeing in this little passage that we've just read, as short as it is, that we have to be intentional about pursuing truth. Mm-hmm. And we have to be intentional about hearing truth. We can't just decide that truth is where we think it is. We have to be open to the possibility that truth is in a place that we least expected it. And I think that's what we're seeing here in these scriptures. The Pharisees and those in the temple, the religious leaders, expected truth to be in a certain place and not where they found it, or not where it really was. It was hiding in plain sight. Yeah. That's really a big lesson for me. That's a takeaway for me, that I need to be open to truth, period. And put aside the expectations of where I think it's going to be found.
When you say the truth, you're not talking about philosophies or other people's
Absolutely
ideas
not.
That contrast with traditional evangelical Christianity or something. You're talking about truth, period.
Yeah.
Truth comes from the fountain of truth, which is God himself. Truth is his. Lies come from the deceiver. They're his. Those are the two camps.
Mm-hmm.
We have to choose which way we're going to go and ask God, reveal yourself for who you are, or I don't care what he thinks or what is being said here in the Word. I'm going to insist that this happens. And truth be told, we see plenty of people today that are bossing God around, claiming to be Christians. I can't, in any stretch of my imagination, consider that that's Christian. To be like Christ is to follow Christ, to be an amplification in your life of the things and the person that he was in his early life, and also the compounding interest of the Spirit of God in us through him. It's supposed to be better for us now, experiencing the Holy Spirit of God within us, than even was having Jesus walk the road with us physically. It's supposed to be better even than that.
Yeah.
And yet we feel like we have somehow the latitude or the freedom to tell God what to do about things. When we're pursuing God in prayer for things that we really need, if we're really honest about our inability to fulfill that need or to satisfy it, we don't go to him as if he's our slave. We go to him as our God and say, "I don't know what to do with this, God. Can you help me? Would you help me? Are you willing to help in the way that I see right now? But if not that, what else do you have that's better than I can imagine? Do what you want to do, Lord." Even Jesus prayed that way to his Father.
Right.
"But not my will, your will." And that wasn't for his benefit so much as ours. I'm certain of that, because he already was on the Father's wavelength. Jesus already got the heart of the Father. He was on the inside of all the plans and how it was going to work itself out in his life and throughout eternity. He said, "In front of people, yet not what I want, what you want." It's an attitude and a directional position. It's saying, I'm on my knees before you because I don't have what it takes to rule and reign, but you do. Mm-hmm. And you also love me enough. Would you answer me? What better prayers can there be than that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the more we dive into the book of John, the more passionate we feel about pursuing truth wholeheartedly and pursuing the truth of God that transforms us and transforms others. I can see that in the way we talk about it more and more.
Yeah. I also think about it historically. As I think about when the book was released and started circulating amongst the believers out across the Roman Empire, it was released decades after John walked with Jesus, and he was an elder in the church, and he probably had taken many missionary journeys himself to go visit believers around the world as far as he could go. But when the letter went out, the persecutions were being renewed. And it may have been released before the fall of Jerusalem, which was so devastating to all the believers and the entire nation there. During those years, it was deeply troubling times.
Yeah.
The believers were not spared this. In fact, they got a double dose of it. Not only were they suffering all the calamities others were suffering, they also suffered the persecution of the government at the same time. And this letter goes out, and the epistles go out from Paul, and the other letters of the apostles start circulating. In the midst of their crises, in the midst of a pandemic of evil, these letters appear. Friends, remember that when you read the Word of God, especially epistles and the Gospels, they were sent to provide the kind of truth and comfort which could transform circumstances even when the persecution didn't relent, even when the calamities did not stop.
Right.
It was meant to be in the middle of that that Jesus appears. I would pray, like we're praying for ourselves and our friends, that God would be very present as you pursue Him in the midst of the things you're going through, and not allowing the Word of God to be derailed or sidetracked from your life, but put in front of you, it to become the engine, not the caboose in your life, and thereby provide some direction and actually send the tracks the right way. I think God is the only train engineer that can actually reroute the tracks.
Build them as He goes.
And He can. And He can send us in the places that we need to go, but we need to hitch up to Him. So enough for that metaphor. But that's how I'll end today's discussion. But friends, again, I thank you so much for your love and your concern for your friends and family, for the way you pray. We're praying with you and for you. And we're so glad to have you part of this Compassion Radio team. Please don't stop. Get involved. Let us know what God's doing in your life. Email us through our website or at info@compassionradio.com. And tell us how we can pray for you. We'd love to hear from you.
And when my world is shattered, and it seems all hope is gone, yet I will praise you, Lord. Trust you.
God bless you as you stretch your faith this year of 2021. I hope we can be a real encouragement and challenge to you for many, many years to come. And make sure to ask for your own copy of The Dynamic Gospel when you contact us today. Remember, none of this is possible without you. If you believe hearing the good news from the front lines of faith builds your faith, then let us know today. Just call us at 1-800-868-2478. Write us at Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859, or make your gift through our website, compassionradio.com. We need you, friend, so contact us today.